Hey there! Do you like comic books? Do you like superhero TV and movies? Well, come on over and check out the Capes of Lunatics podcast. We have such shows as Capes of Lunatics and Super Connectivity, where we cover everything new and current and popular in the world of superheroes. And we also have episode-by-episode reviews of the Marvel Netflix shows and a monthly discussion of everything current on the DC Comics character Nightwing. And a few other surprises all the time. So come join us for the Capes and Lunatics podcast.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering DC Superhero Girls, Superhero High.
Very exciting. Our first DC Superhero Girls one. First and only, maybe. Who knows?
No, it's not. It's certainly not the last. There's at least one more. I think it's actually the first episode we record in 2022. Is a Superhero Girls film.
Can't wait.
Just a heads up, if anyone tries to go and find this film to watch it, this film is quite difficult to find. If you look it up on YouTube, the film that comes up is a Lego DC Superhero Girls thing, which is completely separate.
Yeah. And presumably, is it on DVD anywhere?
Might be. Aired on kind of Cartoon Network and Boomerang, so I don't know if it maybe is on their players.
Mm.
Or on DC Kids as well. Right. Something like that. Anyway, so this film is 44 minutes long. And it's the first time I've ever gone, oh, so this is what the kids are watching now.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, when, well, this is, well, I mean, like, by now, you mean in 2016?
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's the thing. I mean, let's just get it out of the way. This is clearly for very young kids.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we are not the right audience.
I don't know if there's anything I could even have to say about it. Like, is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think I probably would have liked it when I was younger.
Oh, absolutely. You know. The other thing that is a little bit confusing is that it basically has a load of characters who I believe are villains in any other interpretation who are heroes here. I can think of at least one, and it's going to a wee bit confusing.
Well, I'm also confused about like how everyone in it is female, apart from Barry Allen and Hal Jordan.
I mean, like, Beast there's Boy. Like...
Yeah, is Beast Boy in it?
Yeah, Beast Boy's in it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's... there's... Oh, I guess there are a few guys. It's just very... I mean... Yeah, I wonder why it's called DC Superhero Girls. I guess because it focuses on them.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the three main... Well, let's put... The two main characters are Batgirl and Supergirl.
Yeah, they're kind of annoying. But, hey.
Yeah. So we open up with a bunch of heroes defeating Killer Croc, including Wonder Woman, Bumblebee, the famous female character Beast Boy.
Well, it's not a female character, I think we just established
Cheetah and Poison Ivy. I'll be honest, Poison Ivy and Wonder Woman are the only two that actually do anything major.
Yeah. Poison Ivy's very good.
Poison Ivy is probably the most powerful character in it. And she just kind of turns up, ropes everyone up in plants, and then leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl is about to join Superhero High. She's very nervous. She only arrived on Earth 4 weeks ago. She's still not in control of her powers.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get told, oh, at this point, she has a lucky charm that's like a blue gem. which becomes important later. We then cut to... So Barbara Gordon is at the school. She's not a pupil.
No, she's just there. Because she's not a superhero. So she has to be a normie.
Yeah, it's this weird... They keep on bringing up, oh, you're not one of us. You're just a normal person. A normal person who has incredible tech powers. I mean, that's... Oh, what was the... That reminds me of... There's a film where that's a huge plot point. I can't remember. Sky High or something like that. Well, that's basically the plot.
Yeah, but Sky High's good. Yeah, well, this isn't good, but Sky High is... Sky High's aimed more at teens. This is aimed more at pre-teens. I think that's the difference. So, like, I mean, it is really hard. We're not going to be able to judge the quality of this. You know, absolutely. It's like...
A thing we can actually assess... I kind of like this animation style.
I like the animation. I like their costumes. And I like the voice acting.
Yeah.
But the story the and everything else is just like, who cares?
So, Supergirl arrives and immediately crashes through a wall. At this point, we find out Amanda Waller is the headmistress and Grodd
is deputy. Weird. I'm sorry, Amanda Waller as the headmistress is weird.
And Grodd is like, the deputy? Very weird.
That's less weird than having the person who's usually in charge of the Suicide Squad as the headmistress.
Oh, I didn't even think about...
Yeah, that's just odd. I mean, like, they have a lot of... I don't know. I just found that really, like, okay. I mean, look, she's fine in the part. Who cares? Kids don't know. But then they're gonna... If they do grow up and then see her as, like... Yeah, anyway. It's a bit of whiplash. At least, like, Granny Goodness does Granny Goodness type stuff in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's... The other thing, maybe you'd say... Just even the idea of Amanda Waller being a decent human being is a bit weird.
Yeah, right, exactly. So then now imagine her in charge of children.
Yeah. So, Supergirl, they decide that the best person to have the slightly chaotic, very powerful person bored with is Harley Quinn.
I mean, yeah, why not?
Also, is it implied in this version of the universe Harley Quinn has powers?
I mean, I guess, by the fact that everyone's saying Batgirl doesn't.
So we're in a world that Harley Quinn has superpowers, and no one has a problem with this.
I mean, I don't know what superpower she has, but okay.
She has the superpower of Tara Strong voicing her. That's the only superpower anyone needs.
Yeah, but she voices Poison Ivy as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that's the only superpower anyone needs.
So
I'm not as impressed by that, let's put it that way.
Meanwhile, we establish there is a giant amethyst that is very powerful.
Yes.
Because everything that they do is set... It's like, they lay such groundwork as, like, so kind of unsubtly. It's really.
I mean, it's for kids. It doesn't need to be subtle. So it's like, but yeah, it's just not that interesting either. I mean, like, would I hate this if I was watching this while babysitting? No, but I would be very distracted.
Batgirl takes Supergirl under her wing. So I keep on calling her Batgirl. She's not Batgirl yet.
No, but you might as well. I mean, it's not really matter. She ends up as Batgirl. So it's fine.
Yeah. And it's not because she was trained by Batman that she's a bat person. It's because she likes bats. Good as enough a reason as any, I suppose.
I guess.
And she takes Supergirl to meet Granny Goodness, who is the librarian.
Which offends me as a librarian.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you've not done any maniacal evil plans in like 6 months.
I'm just not into the idea of librarians always having to be like old grannies, but whatever. I mean, there's a few things in this I don't really like. There's another plot I don't really like in this that I don't necessarily think is telling good messages to kids either, but hey.
Yep.
The Granny Goodness thing, obviously, we accept. Better than her being a teacher, I guess.
So, we then have Amanda Waller decides that randomly in the middle of the night is the best time to give Supergirl a tour, when she accidentally tries to break into the room with the boom tubes.
Yeah, because there's a room full of boom tubes.
Which are basically portals all around, and they imply that Darkseid tried to steal this technology, and the second they mention Darkseid, it's like, oh, okay, that's what they're setting up.
Yeah, yeah.
So we then meet Hawkgirl, Flash, and Bumblebee, who are like a mini detective club.
They're cute. I like them. They're my favourite bit.
And there has apparently been several attempts to break into the boom tube room.
Mm.
And they found some evidence, which is a green... Well, it turns out to be plant fibre, but I have here green hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also establish fairly early on, Gorilla Grodd is an ex-villain. And he spends half of this film shouting at children. Which, at least he's not mind-controlling them.
Exactly.
So, another plotline they have here is Wonder Woman is convinced Supergirl's trying to one-up her. which is why Wonder Woman doesn't help straight away. Supergirl also causes an incident where she nearly drops a dinosaur-sized beast boy on everyone.
Yeah, that's cute.
We get the canteen scene where Ivy reveals that the material that was found, the green thing, was bamboo, and only one person in the school apparently eats bamboo.
So random, but yes.
I mean, they have to have some way of explaining why Gorilla Grodd is under suspicion.
But do they really... Do gorillas eat bamboo? I don't know.
I think it's pandas.
Yes, it is.
So...
But anyway.
We then get... Because Barbara is only at the school for another week because reasons. And she decides to spend that week training Supergirl to be a better superhero.
Yeah.
It's a decent enough montage if it was like 30 seconds shorter.
It's fine. I don't like Wonder Woman being jealous of it all.
Barbara does knock that on the head very quickly.
Yeah, but I just don't even like it being a thing. I just think it's like, anytime they show you girls, it's like, oh, let's all be jealous of each other. You never see it with guys. And I think it's a really, that one felt really off. Like, it didn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's an unnecessary trope.
It's an unnecessary trope, and given that it's aimed at girls that age, I just think, like, you know, I don't mind if it's in stuff I watch, because I'm like, I know it's not always like that. But I think it's like setting up a, oh, no, why can't we, you know, like, they could all be, you know, this is a fantasy. I know I'm taking it a bit seriously, but it did kind of was like, really, we're doing this in a cartoon for kids?
Yep.
It's clearly aimed at girls as well. It's like, oh, we're going to say you're kind of bitchy and mean girls if you think another girl's better than you. And it's so, you know, whatever.
And also in this universe, apparently, Katana is also a seamstress. Because Supergirl gets her to what we later find out is a Batgirl costume.
Yeah, which is sweet.
So, meanwhile... there's been another attempt to get into the boom tubes, this time leaving claw marks, which is an obvious sign that it's Gorilla Grodd, because he has claws.
Yeah. Not Cheetah.
Not Cheetah, yeah, for a start, yeah. And Granny Goodness also... Basically, if they hadn't started to suspect Grodd, then gives... Hawkgirl a book that's basically, she's highlighted the Gorilla Grodd as an ex-villain section.
Yeah.
Barbara gives Supergirl a present, which is like a comm thing. Supergirl gives Barbara a Batgirl suit, which is, that's a nice scene, that's cute.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is all nice, and it all ends up with everyone friendly and supportive, so it's fine.
And Grodd has a temper tantrum that they're accusing him of trying to break into the boom tubes and quits.
Yeah, as he should.
As he should. Oh, absolutely. I mean, why are they accusing him just because he's an ex-villain and he's big and he's scary?
Actually, well, it's a good question. I mean, like, okay, let's put it a different way. Then why is he the deputy headmaster if he's an ex-villain and big and scary? You can't have it both ways. It's like you either accept he's redeemable and he can be a vice chancellor, or then, like, so it's mixed messaging there as well. But yeah. I'd be like more, oh, he's a guy.
So the superhero girls are then sent on to take on Giganta. Some of the heroes lead the escape, whilst Cheetah, Bumblebee, Supergirl, and Wonder Woman go to take on Giganta herself. Just as Supergirl's getting ready to attack, Cheetah makes a bitchy comment that distracts her and basically causes Supergirl to make a mistake, which then causes her to crumble.
Yeah.
So she eventually goes, well, I'm just better not being here, and leaves.
So the whole thing is getting Supergirl and Batgirl confident enough.
Yeah. And Supergirl then decides to leave because she wants to go to a different school, which is on another planet. And Granny Goodness just says, why don't you just get a boom tube?
Yeah. For the boom tube room.
And manipulate Supergirl into breaking into the boom tube room, whilst also showing, oh, and here's my pet parademon, just in case you haven't got the hint that I'm secretly a bad guy.
The parademon was cute, though.
Oh, parademon was adorable.
Yeah.
And it's at this point that Granny Goodness reveals she is a villain, as the female Furies come in with a kryptonite staff, knock out Supergirl.
Yeah.
Choose not to kill her, because fair enough, it's a kid's film.
Yeah.
Just leave her in the room with kryptonite. And reveal that their plan is to take over every superhero with the amethyst and a device.
Yeah.
MacGuffin. Thankfully, Supergirl is able to contact Barbara, who then throws the kryptonite into Florida.
Yeah.
Because one of the boom tubes goes to Florida, because funny.
Because anytime you want a holiday.
I suppose. And also, meanwhile, Giganta gets beaten by the superhero girls, and Harley proves she's useful because she had giant fluffy handcuffs.
I mean, it was actually pretty useful, but yeah.
Yeah. So, before anyone's able to stop them, the Furies are charged up by the Amethyst and also send out a signal that allows them to take over all the superheroes. Apart from, and the reason that they wanted to set up Grodd is they haven't mastered monkey mind control yet. So, yeah, she actually had a plan. I've got to be honest, of all the plans that supervillains have had, this is actually the one that makes the most sense.
It's one of the ones. I mean, it makes some sense.
Meanwhile, Barbara suits up as Batgirl after being convinced by Supergirl, and Barbara makes an a detrancing device, which uses Supergirl's lucky charm.
Thank God she had it.
And we also have indications at this point that Barda is wavering on the taking over the world thing.
Yeah, that's to give you the sign that Big Bard is good.
Yep. So, Supergirl then distracts the female Furies. Batgirl is able to deactivate the Amethyst and reverse it so that everyone's given their control back. Whilst that's happening, Grodd takes an arrow for her. Because he's secretly a good guy all along.
I mean, it wasn't that secret. We didn't know he was a good guy. Because otherwise he wouldn't be allowed to be vice principal.
Exactly. So, we get a fight between the various Furies and superheroes. Wonder Woman defeats Artemis. Cheetah defeats, I didn't take the name of this character, but she uses a phone that was given to her by Barbara, which she was sniffy about earlier because Barbara's a normal. Poison Ivy defeats Stomper, and
I don't know any of their names.
Yeah. I just know the ones that are mentioned in the film.
Right.
And Supergirl and Barda end up fighting, but Batgirl is able to help rope her up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and Batgirl are able to defeat Granny Goodness and the Parademon, which splits into dozens of dumb parademons.
Yeah, loads of them.
And Granny Goodness...
not quite as cute.
Yeah. And Granny Goodness has a grenade made of cookies.
Which is quite funny.
And says, I don't even like baking! Which is the most evil thing of all. Actually, having watched Bake Off this week, I don't trust people who don't like baking.
I haven't watched it yet, so...
I won't say anything.
I spoiled everywhere.
So yeah, Supergirl is then able to fly into the sky to make sure that the bomb doesn't destroy anything. The Furies, Granny Goodness, and the Parademon are sent to Bel-Rev by Gorilla Grodd. But not before Barda picks up a brochure because she's secretly wavering.
Mm-hmm.
And we end with like a yay, everyone did well, thank you so much, and Batgirl is accepted into the school.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's fine. That's actually fine. It's all right. I mean, like, yeah, exactly.
It is what it is. I think it's, the stuff I would compare it to would be stuff like Batman Unlimited, which I think it's better than the most recent Batman Unlimited film. You couldn't really compare it to anything else because it's aimed at a completely different and a much younger audience. Though I suppose so are the Lego films.
Yeah.
And we've been very positive about those.
Yeah, but I think this is slightly aimed younger at so the difference with this is that like this doesn't have that second layer of like also being targeted at the parents who are watching it with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's fine. Like, I mean, I know, like, friends I know who have kids this age say their kids love it and buy all the comics as well. So it's fine. It's just that, I mean, I didn't hate it and I thought that the animation was great. I just... Oof.
Absolutely. So that was... So that is the first DC superhero girls film, Superhero High. The next one we're doing is, which is kind of later in the year. It's actually the first film we'll be recording in 2022. Is called Hero of the Year. And it's a bit longer. It's about 76 minutes as opposed to this.
Well, that might make it feel a bit more like a film.
Yeah, it looks like it is actually a film as opposed to this did feel a bit bitty.
Yeah. I mean, this just felt like an episode of a TV show and it was that kind of length, so.
Yep. So, we've got two movies coming up before we cover that one. So the next one is the next DC AMU film, which is Justice League versus Teen Titans. So it's Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash and Cyborg versus Damian Wayne, Nightwing, Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy and Blue Beetle. And also, I believe this film, I don't know how important it is to the plot, but I know that Trigon turns up at some point. Voiced by John Bernthal, which I think that sounds like good. Played the Punisher in the Netflix series.
Oh, sorry, I did not hear that name properly then. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I do know who that is.
I don't know how to pronounce his surname, I'll be honest.
No, I'm not really with it.
Yeah. So that's the next one we've got coming up in 2 weeks' time. And then the last episode that we're recording this year, it'll be in 2022 that we actually release the episode, is... This is coming out on Christmas Eve. Didn't plan that, just the way it worked out. The last one we're recording this year is Batman the Killing Joke, based on the Alan Moore, Brian Bolland comic book, famously with some controversial additions.
Yeah. Well, I was famously amongst those who know these things.
Which they take a interesting but problematic story and make it more problematic.
Yeah, this is quite talent.
Yeah. And yes, that's what we've got coming up in the next three films. And yeah, it's a while before we even get to another Lego film. Though, that said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're only 8 episodes away from, we're 7 episodes away from Justice League Dark, and the next one after that is the Lego Batman movie, the theatrically released Lego Batman movie. So we've got plenty to look forward to.
Yeah.
And, did I see, I think you appeared on the Moon Knight podcast recently?
We did an episode about issue 5 that just came out. That's a good, sort of got to find out who the bad guy is, and pretty solid issues. That was fun.
Fantastic. Have you appeared or are you appearing in any podcasts in the near future?
Yeah, I've done the Iron Fist, Sons of Dragon, Immortal Iron Fist podcast. We are going through the 90s Heroes for Hire run.
Right.
With Black Knight and Hercules and all kinds of people like that. So that's quite fun. And the UFOs, which somebody said the other day that no one ever talks about, because they just were in a comic the other day. So they are also in the Heroes for Hire run.
Fantastic. And as per, I am still doing the Rise of the Robots podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is covering various robot combat shows. The most recent of which we'll still be covering when this episode comes out is BattleBots Season 3.0.
Exciting.
It is actually quite...
No, you're really getting through them.
Well, you say that, I mean, I know, because it's... just to kind of put in context the kind of times, because I'm editing the 50th episode just now.
Oh, wow.
Of our podcast, I mean.
Yeah, no, I know that.
And it's so weird talking about, we'll be like 110, 100 something. We're at 140 episodes of Rise of the Robots at the time of this recording.
Wow.
And we've still got... We're still not even like halfway through Robot Wars, halfway through BattleBots. We've not even covered any of the Chinese stuff. Like, we're still covering stuff that's like 20 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The rest of your life ahead of you.
We do actually have a gag about that. Well, thank you very much for listening to the DCEU podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with Justice League versus Teen Titans.
Hooray. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.